But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, hour number two on a feel-good football Friday in the nation's capital and beyond. It is a loony bin out in the bullpen. I mean, JP's leaving. B. Mitch is leaving and packing up the gumbo that he made. You got my guy Donnie from Gouda's Barbecue out there. Jeff's running around trying to pour me things that I can't have on the radio. It is a insane asylum here at the Odyssey DC studios. But, you know, listen, it's Friday. It's the end of the regular season. Commanders are 11 wins in. There's a snowstorm coming. Everybody's feeling all right. Everybody's feeling okay. And it's not a bad thing. In case you missed a picture of the gumbo, you got to check it out. At WrestleMania621. I'm going to make you just so badly want gumbo. Something hearty, warm. I mean, B makes it unbelievable. Like shrimp, crab, sausage, you know, the white rice, the gravy, proper spice. It's not, I mean, it's spicy, but it's not like overwhelming or anything like that in any way. It's awesome. Awesome. And I've only been to New Orleans once in my life. And that was for Robert's debut, and it was 24 hours, and I never got to sample any New Orleans-based cuisine. None. Not at all. No beignets, no etouffees, not no gumbos, no nothing. From in New Orleans, the 24 hours that I was there.
So what you're saying is it's on the Commanders to make it to the Super Bowl so that you can finally get some proper
basically,
New Orleans
yeah.
cooking.
Yeah, except right now I'm having trouble with the NFL credentials portal for the Super Bowl, so your boy's going to get shut out. I can just see what's going to happen here.
Well,
I'm sure it works
case,
for everybody else, and for me, it's deactivated.
Here's what we need everyone to do. We need everyone to tweet at our boss and tell him that if you don't get the credentials, he needs to send you down there in a chicken coop and just outside of the stadium have you do this show from a chicken coop and have it be a full thing. Rooster in the coop from outside the Superdome.
Listen, if you don't think I would do that,
oh,
I mean,
you don't think that would go viral on Twitter?
Oh,
there is a man who is sitting in a chicken coop doing a radio broadcast.
That'd be great.
You get on all the TV channels.
I mean, especially if it was like one of those coops that also had a dunking mechanism to them, and like, you know, if you hit like, I don't know, if you hit like the rooster head or the rooster egg or whatever, or the rooster basket,
be,
you know.
And I think it would be funnier if we give you a adult size hamster feeder and fill it with Mountain Dew.
That would be funny. All right, let me read you that tweet that I mentioned from Nihar. I hope I'm saying his name right. But he writes, he, meaning Cliff Kingsbury, should only leave if and when he has the perfect gig lined up, from ownership to front office to roster to cap space to money. Conversely, the opportunity to win with Jaden on a rookie deal should be pretty enticing in its own right. And that's exactly the point. Like, why would you take a head coaching job in a bad spot like New Orleans or the Jets? Salary cap messes, dysfunctional ownership, bad roster. Why would you do that? Just to be the head guy? Just to be a head coach again? Like, he already had that in Arizona. It was a debacle, and everyone blamed him. Stupidly, but everyone blamed him. I mean, the general manager was cited, I think, twice for drunk driving. They were doing illegal cell phone crap. The owners, the Bidwells, not exactly the best ownership group in the world. Kyler Murray was a pain in the ass, immature and everything. Why would you want to do that if you're Cliff? So again, I took yesterday as a win for the Commanders. Even though he acknowledged, hey man, yes, you know, at some point I'd like to be a head coach. Okay. I mean, at some point I'd like to be a millionaire, but it doesn't mean I'm going to be a millionaire. More realistically, I'm going to keep coming in here, punching the clock, and doing the best show I can, even though some of you hate me or hate the show. As long as you still listen, that's the most important thing. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. All right, let's start off hour number two with Paulie in the 757. What up, Paulie? How are you?
Yeah, hell to the W, man. It always seems like it's a letdown when you see my name on the screen and start introducing me, man.
Well, sometimes it's a letdown because I don't know what to expect because you're going to pick on me about something stupid.
Okay, so I know it too. Here he goes, the aforementioned. Calm down, man. It's all good. Hey, you can roll out the door with Kingsbury, though. Me and you, his number one supporter. Listen, man.
You want him to take me to New Orleans or to the Jets?
He's going to Chicago, bro. Okay. Come on. Is Eddie there for him? Caleb Williams is there. They really wanted him last year. You know what I mean? But they held on to Eberflus. I don't know what that was about, but it's written for him, man. He had a relationship with Caleb Williams. You got a quarterback that's there. You got a team that has weapons. They got a defense. So if any fit is good for him to go to take his soft ass offense to, it's Chicago. You know what I mean? So, as I'm concerned, he can go. Because Jaden Daniels has been bailing him out since the Chicago game. And I was like,
did you call his offense a soft ass offense?
Yeah, I did. I know what I see. He runs a soft ass offense.
Why do you think he runs a soft ass offense? Because they haven't run the ball effectively outside of Jaden the last couple of weeks, or what?
Yeah, that had part to do with it. Also, he refuses to change the running game in the offense. I mean, that's part of the problem with the running game is we've been running the same style running game the whole season. Teams is caught up to it.
All right, what do you want to run? I mean, I want to run more toss pitch and all that, but I mean, they don't seem to be interested in that.
Exactly, because he's soft. He just wants to get in the shotgun. He wants to get in the shotgun and play everything off the shotgun. You know, sometimes you got to line up on the center. You know, sometimes you got to put a guy in motion on the center. You know, I mean, you got to be able to be versatile in offense, man. You got to be able to make adjustments, and he's not.
Let me ask you this. Those are all fair points, but hang on a second. Hang on.
Hang on. I didn't finish my sentence.
Good Lord.
Okay. He wants to sit in the shotgun and depend on Jaden's natural ability. Now, ask your question.
Thanks. I appreciate you giving me permission on my show.
Yeah.
What if?
I don't care whose show it is. Call common courtesy. You don't just cut people off when they talk it.
Well, you talk a lot.
Well, ain't that the pot calling the kettle? Calling the pot calling the kettle.
Matty Ice had enough of you.
I mean, I just had to because he gave you the full sentence, said go ahead, and then immediately tried talking over you.
That's a fair point.
I mean,
That's a fair point. He was mad at me for talking over him, for trying to ask a relevant question to his point.
We only have so much power.
And then he did the same thing to me. Yeah. So here's the question I was going to ask before Paulie obliterated the point and the moment. And that is there something to be said for Cliff not showing all of his cards yet? Is there something to be said for Cliff saying, you know what? I'm going to save some stuff, some looks, toss pitch, toss crack, some more under center looks. jet motion underneath the running back and behind the quarterback under center. That type of stuff, which we haven't seen a lot of, if much of. Is there something to be said for that? I think there is. Like, yes, you got to get to the playoffs in order to save something, but maybe, just maybe, they have a bonanza waiting for them. And maybe that isn't it at all. I don't know. But maybe that's what we'll be talking about in a week and a half from now. Whoa! Did you see that? Wow, Cliff really went into his bag. That type of thing. Maybe. Don't know. To call him a soft-ass offense, I think is... I mean, I don't understand where you... I really don't get where you come off saying that. I mean, are they the toughest offense in the world? No. They're not a downhill maul you at the point of... But they can at times, right? If you think about that huge drive that Chris Rodriguez finished off, Like, they blew the Atlanta Falcons off the line of scrimmage. Who would have thought that they would be able to run for 268 yards against the Tennessee Titans defensive front? Like, they can. They don't always do it, clearly. That's not exactly what I would describe as their DNA, but they can, and they've shown an ability to do it at times. And again, maybe there's something that Cliff is saving. You know, I am a believer in that, right? How often did I talk about, hey, man, how come they haven't used De'Ami Brown as a deep stretch guy? And what did they do? About a week after I gave up calling for it, they dialed it up against the Philadelphia Eagles from your own 4-yard line. We hadn't seen it all year. So maybe there is something to be said for he's got a bag of tricks. All right, let's get more of you involved here. Let's get to Jonesy next up on the Team 980. Jonesy, Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year to you too, Rooster. Hey, listen up, man. I agree with Paulie on a lot of stuff, but this one, no. As far as dropping him on the center right now, I don't think we have the full complementary offensive line right now to drop him under center. I mean, there's been quite a few games. So there's been some busted holes between that left side as far as the left between left guard and center a lot. So I'm cool with Kingsbury doing what he's doing with him for right now. And I do agree with this. I don't think he's finished yet. And I heard someone say earlier, yeah, he's gone. No, he's not gone. I've listened to his little conference, press conference, as far as that went the other day. And it sounds like, no, he's going to at least do another year here. If you're reading in between the tea leaves. But then again, some people can't do that. But I know you can.
I try to.
I want to say one more thing. Man, if you did the Derek or say, and it took the coop, man, that would be the coolest viral thing, man. Trust me. I know, me personally, myself, I would retweet that thing about a million times. Well, re-exit it all over the place. So whoever can get it, that would be cool.
Nice. I appreciate you. Thank you, Jonesy. I don't know if that's going to work out, although, of course, our guy Alan Lepore is already tagging CK, our boss. Said, if WrestleMania doesn't get his Super Bowl credentials, then you need to have him do his show, Rooster on the Road in a Chicken Coop with salad from Olive Garden in a feeder of some sort. So basically, he took Maddie's idea and he kind of twisted it and manipulated it. And by the way, I'm going to have a hard enough time getting to the first road playoff game, never mind the Super Bowl. Logistics are not my friend right now. So we will see. But hey, man, if you guys want to figure out a way, if there's a sponsor out there that wants to figure out a way to get me to the Super Bowl, I'm all ears. I work cheap. You know, whatever's good for the show. You want to put me in a chicken coop in a dunk tank? You heard what LaPorre is saying?
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Okay.
I like the idea. Now we just got to hear back from the boss man.
Yeah. I mean, let's get Christian, who seems to be sports friendly. Let's just put it that way. Let's get Christian on it. He seems to sell everything. You know, like there's got to be like somebody that wants to sponsor me in a dunk tank. In a chicken coop.
Roman Rooster, you used to work with them. This is a perfect shout out.
I know. I mean, there's plenty of other places too. I mean, we could cobble a bunch of things together. And if you want me to do the show from New Orleans, whether the Commanders are there or not, I'll do the show from New Orleans. You know?
Somehow that's even funnier if they're not there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just some random guy from D.C. shows up in a dunk tank that looks
in a rooster outfit. Real quickly here, Clint Child said he'd hold out for the Patriots next year as far as Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff was there, and obviously you have Drake May to work with. I'd be very surprised. I mean, there has been some speculation about Jaron Mayo. I'd be very surprised if Jaron Mayo gets fired after 1 year. I'm not expecting that. So next year would make some sense, right? I mean, to Clint's point, and I should have kind of thought about this before, again, he was there. He was under Belichick, Brady. I mean, he maybe looks at it as, you know, a little bit of football royalty. Like, Kraft will give you some power if you have earned it, and if you prove it. I know there was some issues between Kraft and Belichick and whatever, but, you know, he'll give you some autonomy. I don't know if you're getting that with Jerry Jones, who's the owner, the president, the marketing master, the GM, the head scout, and everything in between. Oh, and the PR guy. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I tell you what, take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll get another round of calls in here. We'll keep this going because I'm fascinated by what Cliff Kingsbury is going to bring to the table and what you guys view. I view this as a win when he said that this place, meaning Washington, has helped him find his passion again for football. To me, that's a win. That's a win. In addition, when you really look at the whole situation, why would he want to put himself in another similar situation than he was in Arizona with a baby for a quarterback, a pain in the ass for a general manager, lukewarm, if at best, ownership? Why would he want to do that? I wouldn't. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. There's some really interesting spreads coming up in Week 18 action because some backup quarterbacks are starting. Some teams have clinched and are resting players, Saquon Barkley, the Eagles, so on and so forth. We'll get to some of that, but just some really, really alarming spreads. Like, whew, how do you kind of look at these games and how do you try and figure out what the hell is going on? I'll give you one that's not going to be part of our Super Six Pack coming up. The Kansas City Chiefs are playing in Denver. Now, the Broncos obviously need the game and the win after ultimately losing in overtime last Saturday in Cincinnati to make the playoffs. The Chiefs are not playing Patrick Mahomes and presumably others. So the Broncos are 10.5-point favorites against the Chiefs, the two-time Super Bowl champion Chiefs. I mean, you probably have never seen that kind of spread against a two-time defending champion or even a defending champion. But yet here we are. And it doesn't matter whether they're right. It just matters that it is, you know, it is what it is. And the perception. All right, let's get back to the phones. Talking Cliff Kingsbury here. Let's go to Rob and Frederick next up on the Team 980. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. You took one away that I was going to say. What about the Giants job comes available? Is that intriguing enough for Kingsbury?
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. I guess I hadn't given that one enough thought. Because you're going to get a quarterback with, you know, well, right now they're down to the number 4 overall pick, I think. But presumably you would still be able to get a quarterback. You have Malik Nabers. You know, you have the allure of New York. The problem, and you have a pretty good defense. The problem is some of the luster of what the Giants organization used to be, stability, patience, you know, normalcy, kind of like doing things the right way, a la the Steelers. You know, some of that has worn off, and it's become more dysfunctional over the last 10 years and maybe last 5 to 7 years. So that, you know, brings the question of, you know, do you view that situation as better than, say, the Jets, better than, say, New Orleans, better than, say, Chicago? You know, and I guess that would be up to Cliff to decide. I would say that I would prefer to take the Giants job over the Jets job, the New Orleans job, and maybe even the Chicago job. If the Giants job came open.
If it came open, I think he'd be really seriously interested in.
That's interesting.
Basically build it.
Yeah.
He could build it from the ground up.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, of course, it also depends on what they decide to do with Joe Shane and the general manager and all that. You know, so do they go a complete blow up? Do they, you know, again, the whole situation has to be determined in the next couple of days.
I think they're all gone, personally.
That's
just me.
I think Shane probably loses his gig, and I guess if he gets fired, then, you know, certainly there's a chance that Dable gets fired, I guess, because that was Shane's guy, and, you know, an incoming GM would probably want to hire his own guy, but not necessarily. You know, I think for the most part, and last week was kind of an example of this. I mean, now that Colt team is soft as vanilla ice cream on a hot summer Sunday, but, you know, that Giant team has not given up. They have, you know, they fought fairly hard for Dable down the stretch, but it's a good question. It's a good point. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it. Let's squeeze in one more here before the trending alert. Let's go to Lou next up. What's up, Lou? How are you?
Beat Dallas, man. What's up? What's good?
What's going on, Lou?
Man, we partying over here on this side of the town this Sunday, man. We're going to have a little get-together about down here at the Buffalo Wild Wing and Potomac Mills, man. Come out in there.
Is that where you hang out?
What's wrong with that, Chris?
I'm just asking. I didn't say anything was wrong. I was just saying, is that where you hang out?
There's nothing wrong with it, man.
I didn't say there was anything wrong with it. You have a hearing issue. I said, is that where you hang out?
Dude, you making it look like what? Yeah, I hang out there. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'll come and surprise you, Lou. So you can yell at me about Benjamin St. Just and whatever else is on your mind.
That too, man. That'd be a plus. That's one guy I don't want to see on the field on Sunday for sure. But, you know, that's for a different day and different topic. But, you know, I care about, you know, beating Dallas on Sunday and then, you know, Cliff and, you know, if he wants to go to whatever other team. If I was him, the problem is that the owners are just, they just don't get it. They don't know how to hire the GM and all these people, man. They just in there just for themselves, man. We should be the blueprint. You see what we're doing. You should have a good GM.
But a lot of people thought that Adam Peters was crazy for wanting Dan Quinn. And as a matter of fact, a lot of people completely dismissed Dan Quinn wrongly and said, oh, he was the last option. He was this, he was that. No, he wasn't. He was one of the first options.
Yeah, let's see. The thing is, people didn't know anything about Dan Quinn besides him losing that game in the Super Bowl pretty much. Other than that, like, once you get to understand what he's about and, you know, when they do the whole interview and things like that, he opened up, he lets you know what he's trying to do, what he's trying to accomplish, and you're like, okay, he makes sense. Instead of going for that big guy, Bill Belichick, or this other guy, no, man, hire the right person, and that's exactly what we did. And like I said, if Cliff wants to go to Chicago, that's just, you know, for me, it'd be the wrong move because you doing the same thing. It's like a 2.0.
Yeah.
You in Arizona, you go to another
exactly.
Diva quarterback.
Exactly.
And
well, the difference is he knows more recently Caleb Williams. I mean, he was with Kyler before, you know, but there was separation and, you know, people change over the course of a couple of years. But to your point, and this is my point overall, why, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, would you want to put yourself in a bad situation? You have the leverage. Now, you might lose some of that leverage down the line if something happens to Jaden Daniels, whatever, but you have the leverage to not take a bad job. And remember, if you take a bad job and if it works out that way and it remains a bad job because you're not Superman or because things didn't go your way, you're probably not getting a third NFL head coaching job. Thank you, Lou. Appreciate it. I wasn't making fun of him. I was just saying, hey, is that where you hang out? Maybe I'll show up one day. Maybe. All right, coming up, a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. More of your calls on the other side. Stay with us. All right, Commanders in the books for the practice week out at Commandland. And Ashburn, Austin Eckler is TBD, according to reporters, after a good week of practice. But he does have a good shot of being activated off of IR after, again, a strong week. Full go the last couple of days. We're waiting official word for today. The Commanders did rule out Marshon Lattimore, Jordan McGee, and Tyler Owens for Sunday's game in Dallas. Our pregame coverage begins at 9. With the Force of Earl, of course, continues. Burgundy and Gold Game Day with Denton Day, Linnell Willingham, and the DOC taking your calls after the game as you mill around and perhaps before the snow in the DMV. All after Sunday's 1 o'clock game for Week 18 to conclude the regular season. Can the Commanders get to 12 wins? That's the question at hand. And can they lock up the sixth seed, which they would with a win. Meanwhile, tonight, got college football bowl action. You've got Virginia Tech in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. That's right. They're taking on Minnesota. That's right. Virginia Tech, Minnesota, going at it tonight in the Duke's Mayo Bowl down in Charlotte. You can hear all the action coming up tonight, starting at 5:30 over on 106.7 The Fan with the pregame show from, again, the Duke's Mayo Bowl, Hokies, and Minnesota. Meanwhile, here on the Team 980, we will have the Wizards in New Orleans, where they are dealing with so much more than just simply a basketball game. But nevertheless, a basketball game will be played. 7:45, the coverage with Dave Johnson and company right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. And if you're looking for the Georgetown Hoyas, they're hosting Xavier. 7:45, the coverage with the great Rich Schvatkin from Capital One Arena on Bloomberg 99.1. And that's what's trending. Out of feel-good football Friday. Yeah, we're going to get actually into the game here coming up, plus our dual Super Six-Pack. Six games against the NFL spread, including the Commanders and the Cowboys, and the top six teams ranked in the NFL 1-6 entering Week 18. No Thursday night football last night, no Monday night football coming up. Two Saturday games, and they will be prominently featured in our Super Six-Pack. And again, we pick the Commanders and the Cowboys game, or the Commanders game each and every week. That's the deal, EO, with that, whether we like the line or not. And this week, I would say, not really a big fan of the line. but we've got to make the pick. So there we have that. Let's get back to the phones and get to Marvin in Landover right here on the Team 980. Hello, Marvin. How are you?
What's up, brother Chris?
What's going on, Marvin? What's shaking, man?
Sorry. Hey, look, he's gone. You might as well mark it up. I mean, I love that everybody has this optimism that he's going to stay, but he's a confident man, and he's going to believe he can take a good situation and make it better. I also see that there's a job out there that might come open that everybody is missing right now, and that's Cincinnati. Zach Taylor might be gone. And don't tell me he wouldn't take Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. So I'm just saying that I don't want him to go. I like what he's doing with JD5 because JD5 definitely, if you think about it, he makes the impossible possible sometimes. And I remember a few callers ago and said we had a soft-ass offense.
Yes.
I'm not saying we're soft, but we're definitely limited. I think they're limited at the guard center guard. Not so much as the center. But inside, we're not powerful. And because you're not powerful, sometimes you don't control the rush lane. And I don't think we ran well against Philadelphia. We didn't run well against Atlanta. So we had a lot of times that the run is not even available to this team. And that's where JD5 comes in and saves the day. So not soft, and he's not holding anything back, but we're limited.
I like that perspective a lot more than soft. I agree. Listen, I mean, I'm a huge Sam Cosmi guy. He's struggled at times over the last couple of weeks. Nick Allegretti has struggled at times. He has. And Nick's been good for the most part. He's given you everything you probably could have asked for. But remember, he was never a starter for a reason in Kansas City. You know, or I shouldn't say he wasn't a starter until the playoffs last year, and he played reasonably well. Struggled a little bit in the Super Bowl in the first half, but the point being is there was a reason, and now you're asking him to be a starter, and I understand that's the way sometimes the league works. You're not going to have Pro Bowl players or all pros at every particular position. Biotis has been a little bit banged up here down the stretch, not once, but twice. More than twice, including missing the entire second half last week, and Dieter did a pretty decent job, holding the point of attack. But your point being is they don't exactly maul people with limited occasion or limited success. And Tennessee was that limited probably sample size where they just mauled people off the line of scrimmage and got them on almost everything that they tried to do.
One more thing just before I get off here and you thank me for like my great call.
Thank you, Marvin, for your great call. I appreciate you. I like that. I like that, Marvin. I like that. See, you're better than you're much better than Paulie. You're like, you can thank me for my great call.
And let me tell you something. I love Paulie's perspective all the time. So I'm not gonna knock him for what he says. He's passionate, and that's just like me. Yeah. We're passionate about our team. But just one more thing. There's two things this team really needs, of course. I think they need a mauler tackle or guard inside. They need a playmaker at running back who can take 10 yards and make it 40, okay? And probably one more wide receiver, but that's not my main concern, because if you get those two first things, let me tell you something, JD5 is unlocked. It's unlocked.
I mean, it's hard to fathom how much better he can be if you get some of those pieces. No, you're right. I mean, make no mistake about it. Even though the offensive line has been fairly solid, for much of the year, they're going to have to reinforce something along that offensive line and maybe primarily left guard, and then we'll see about right tackle and running back. I mean, everybody sees what Scadabo did at Arizona State. What Ashton Gentry?
Scadabo's not.
I know, but he can help you.
Travion Henderson.
Well, yeah.
Krishan Juggins.
Yeah.
Those kind of guys make me think of a guy going 80 yards on a zone read. Everybody thinks JD's getting it.
I hear you. Thank you, Marvin. I appreciate your great call, man. I do. You're the man. Appreciate you. Marvin Gooder? Gardens in Landover. How about that? What was that? Gooder. Yes. He's Gooder. I can't talk. I've been up since 5:30 this morning. Let's get to Little next up on the Team 980. Little, how are you?
Little sir, happy New Year. Shout
happy New Year,
Ice.
Little.
Man, I was telling Ice, Kingsbury, I think Kingsbury still got some up his sleeve on moving forward. This next game down Dallas, he got a lot he want to use. He getting a little attention, so he's going to show off a little bit. But you know what, Don Rooster? I'm going to throw a name out there. I think this dude is an innovator. The innovator of how he's been breaking the last two offensive coordinators' offense, how he break down offense, period. Man, if I was Adam Peters, I call him in his office, man.
All right. Who are we talking
about? Paulson. So I'm a Paulson, man.
Oh, as in Logan Paulson?
Logan Paulson.
Okay.
I would bring him in the office, sit him down, let him look at some tape. I don't care if you can look at about four different team offenses.
Well, what makes you think they haven't done that? They tried to hire him. He didn't want to work 100 hours a week as an NFL coach and give up some family time.
Well, you got something on me because I never knew that.
Yeah, they tried to hire him.
I think he's the next big thing. I really do, man.
It could change, right? Think about it. If Kingsbury gets a head coach, if Kingsbury gets a head coaching job, right, and he takes, you know, one or two assistants, which he likely would at least with him, you know, and maybe Logan. Well, I haven't talked to Logan about this, but maybe Logan has a change of heart. I mean, he's working in high school football. He obviously grinds all the tape. He's super smart.
I just like to hear him talk when he break it down.
I agree.
But look, shout out to my man, Sweet Lou. Lou, how about them Caps, man? Lou ain't been saying nothing about them Capitals.
I hear you.
Hey, Rooster, you run Lou Pressure up. Easy.
I try.
Hey, God bless you.
I try.
Y'all.
Thank you, man.
Hey, look, but look, you got to go down there and get Dallas, man. The motto is punch him in the mouth off the bat, and let's move on up out of there.
Attaboy. And get home safe ahead of the snowstorm. Hey, appreciate you.
I just got me, hey, look, you ain't going to believe it. I just got me 120-inch screen TV.
120-inch screen TV?
Yes, sir.
My goodness.
Because they had a nice sale down at the big screen store.
Look,
this is an LG model. That's pretty damn impressive. So I got rid of it. I upgrade. That's all it is,
Luke. Attaboy.
Hey, Lou, God bless y'all. Stay up, man.
They must be selling a lot of burgers. Thank you, Lou. I appreciate little 120. Matty, have you heard of a 120-inch screen TV?
That's a big screen.
Big-ass TV. I mean, you know, obviously you see that at huge size video boards and whatnot at football stadiums and arenas, but 120 in your home?
So my sister and her husband have one that's about that big.
Really?
And when they were in New York, I felt like I couldn't get far enough away because all of the apartments are so small that the walls is just like, hey, you can't put this far enough away for me to be able to watch this comfortably.
Interesting. There is a little bit of word, and we haven't done a lot of the game because the game, I mean, it means something. It just doesn't mean exactly what we thought it would mean. Maybe when the schedule first came out or even late in the year or when the Commanders were really struggling to just get back on the winning track. But it does mean something. But there are other games that will, you know, kind of shape the destination for the Commanders, right? So if the Commanders win on Sunday, again, they lock down the sixth seed, whether it be on 120 inch screen TV or not. If the Commanders win, they lock down the sixth seed. That part would be fixed. The opponent would fluctuate based on Tampa and what they do at 1 o'clock against New Orleans. And more importantly, the Rams and what they do at 4:25 against Seattle. Well, we've all kind of speculated how the Rams and Sean McVay are going to play this. According to Jordan Rodrigue from The Athletic, just a couple of moments ago, Ben Standing re-put it up, the Rams will sit Matthew Stafford, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, Kyren Williams, and then a bunch of other guys, a couple of offensive linemen, Rob Havenstein, who's actually out with a shoulder injury, and Kevin Dotson. So the Rams are going full Sean McVay preseason mode. Now, the Rams could go to a four seed, right? If Tampa wins against New Orleans and the Rams lose, then Tampa's the three seed. So I you know, and I just want to double check this because, you know, Standing tagged the tweet saying the Rams, unlike the Commanders, are not playing for the playoff seed this weekend. But I that's not true, right? That, I mean, as far as I know, unless I heard something wrong or read something wrong, if the Rams lose and the Bucks win, then the Bucks get the three seed. Unless I screwed that up. So, some question. I got to double check that. All right. So, there you have that. I wanted to get that in. We will continue along on the other side. A couple of things, key things for the Commanders to look at this weekend. Plus, we'll have our dual super six-pack, six games against the NFL spread, including the Commanders and the Cowboys, and did and have the Commanders squeezed back in to the top six teams in the NFL in our Super 6 ranking, 1-6, heading into Week 18 of the NFL season. We'll have that for you in the 3 o'clock hour. Stay tuned on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so I just want to clarify something that I was a little confused on and that I jumped ahead. And I just spoke to Ben Standing of The Athletic during the commercial break. By the way, he said it's snowing in Ashburn. Already? Yuck. We knew it was a possibility, so be safe out there. It's not even 3 o'clock yet. It's going to take me 14 hours to get home. From D.C. But he said, you know, the tag on his tweet, which I misinterpreted, he said the Rams, unlike the Commanders, are not playing for the playoff seed this weekend. I interpreted it first couple looks as, oh, the Rams couldn't move seeds. But what he's saying and what ultimately he meant was the Commanders are playing as if the seed means something. The Rams are not, by benching all of these guys. So that's what he meant. Not that the Rams can't drop to a four seed. They can. And Matt, you said you were doing some kind of wackadoo math, right?
Yeah, I was trying to do the crazy playoff math. And in this situation, because of the records and everything, if the Rams lose, the Bucks win, then that means they are tied win-loss, tied for conference record. It would have to go to, or the division record, it would have to go to the conference record.
Well, which, they're not in the division, so conference record is the number one. And they didn't play each other this year.
I'm saying that their division records, isn't that the first tiebreak?
No, for teams that are in different divisions, okay. It's conference record. So, but well, to your point, Tampa would be 8-4 in the conference, and the Rams would be 6-6. So
yeah.
Tampa would win that tiebreaker.
That it is imperative that either Tampa loses or the Rams win.
Yeah, so exactly. So basically, like Sean McVay is saying, I don't care whether we're playing the 5 seed or the 6 seed. You know, whether it's the loser of Detroit, Minnesota, or presumably Washington, but it could be Washington or Green Bay, the Rams are saying, we don't care. We're just going to play. And it's not worth grinding our guys. I disagree with that because, I mean, if you're the Rams, why would you want to play the loser of Detroit, Minnesota?
I also think that, I mean, I understand if they're injured, but and anybody can go back and check it out on Pat McAfee earlier. Bill Belichick joined in and they talked about why do you sit guys? And his response was, if a guy's injured, if they're suffering and trying to get back for the playoffs,
makes sense.
That's a great reason.
Sure.
But he had issues telling his guys, hey, you're less important. We have to sit these 5 guys. I don't care if you get hurt.
Yeah. Well,
that's an aspect I never thought about.
That is really smart. And that's why Bill Belichick is a genius. Just one of the reasons why. Because not only do you send that message, but you also send the message, hey, man, everything that we've been working for week in, week out, the process, you know, sacrificing your bodies, you know, put your minds to everything. Win, 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 win. Doesn't matter if if we lose this game, number one. Number two, it doesn't matter who we play. And the opposite of that is McVay's like, well, it doesn't guarantee us a win whether we play Detroit, Minnesota, or Washington, or Green Bay, or whatever. It doesn't guarantee us a win, so why not control what we can control? And I do understand that to some degree. But if I'm the Rams, I'd rather not deal with, especially if I know that Tampa has already won by the time I kick off. If Tampa has lost, then that's a little bit of a different situation. All right, we got to run 259, Team 980. More of your calls, more reaction coming up. Our dual six packs, all still to come in a final hour of power here on a Feel Good Football Friday on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.